Well, ladies, we've got two more weeks, and so let's get started on our lesson. Let's pray. Our Father, we just come before you this morning thanking you again that you have so blessed us with this study, that you have made it all possible, that you put things in place. You made us wait and wait and wait some more, and there's a reason for that. I think the anticipation built and built, and Lord, I just cannot wait to tell them the title of part three. Father, we just look forward to the seeing of the culmination of the age, what you promised and how you're going to bring it to pass, Lord. And we look forward to the time when you have things your way. Help us to understand these last chapters, because they are pretty horrendous to us. Things that we don't understand because we've never seen them. Help us to understand your plan. Father, we know you. We know you are holy. We know you are divine. We know that you are truthful. We know that you are love. We know so much about you, we will never know it all. But Father, because of your character that we know that this is right, that this is true. This is going to end the battle almost forever between the satanic battle that has been going on since Lucifer's tail swept the third of the angels out with him, and what destruction and heartache and pain and disease and everything else that all that has foisted on your perfect creation, Lord, and now you're coming to make it all right. And Father, we thank you for these lessons. We thank you that you loved us enough to tell us beforehand what you were going to do. Thank you for that. And we ask you to teach us this morning in Jesus' name. All right. Now I'm going to start going over chapter 14 again. I think we went over that partially last week. Find it in my book. And we're going to go over that again today. So get out your observation worksheets on chapter 14. I want to make some things perfectly clear, because I've tried so hard to teach you to look for the small words. Don't ever read a statement, the first half of a sentence or the first part of a verse or even the whole verse, and have your brain click and say, okay, that's it, and then move on. Because you won't understand this if you do that. That's going to cause you to take some things out of context. And context is finishing the whole thought and then putting it in the whole being the book that you're studying, which testament it's in, or the whole counsel of God. And I'm going to show you how important that is. And so as we open 14, there are many that will teach you that these 144,000 standing on Mount Zion, this would have to be in heaven, because of verse 2 is in heaven, where you see the throne of God and the four living creatures and the elders, and there they all are. But it's not. And I want to show you, some things, because I've talked and tried to get you to understand. And it's hard when you've never done this before. It's really hard. I mean, it's really hard for some that have been back again and again and again. But there's a point for that, and that is to get us into the Word of God and see what He said. Okay. I've told you again and again, when Moses went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, to meet with God, he came down with the Ten Commandments. But he also came down with the pattern for the tabernacle. the tent of testimony, the tent of meeting. It's got several different names because it's where God would meet with his people, the tent of meeting. It's the tent of the testimony being the Ten Commandments. And Moses was told to build the tabernacle, the earthly tabernacle, according to the exact pattern that he was shown in heaven. And that's why you see things, and you will see them when we study the earthly tabernacle, that what you studied in Revelation and who's around the throne and the and this little altar that I keep pointing out to you, we see it in the earthly tabernacle. Because it is all a picture of Jesus Christ and what he's coming to do, Messiah. Okay? So you can't let the two of those cross, the earthly tabernacle and the heavenly tabernacle. All right, we've got to get going. We've seen that the seventh trumpet has blown. It blew in the end of chapter 11, and here we are at 14. So this is one of those pauses in the timeline where God is going to take a deep breath and he's going to say, now sit down, I want you to know what all these things are, what's happening, what I'm doing, what's going on in heaven, what's going on the earth. You'll see the contrast between the two. Because remember, earth is so eaten up with sin at this point. I mean, it's a bad thing. And yet in heaven, this glory and the sound of harps and the sound of singing and joy and hallelujah, heavenly choruses. And you see that, you just notice the contrast between one and the other. Here in chapter 14, it begins, and then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion. And with him, 144,000. Have we seen them before? Where? Thank you. Chapter 7. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads, they are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And they are sealed for a mission. Are they Gentile? No. They are from the 12 tribes of Israel. They are Jewish. And they are Jewish missionaries. Now, Elise, just put her head down because I pointed at her and she knew I was headed her way with a hug. Hey, darling. You know what? Look at me. You're sealed right there, too.
Thank the Lord for that.
Thank the Lord for that. The moment you are saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that promise is that one day you'll be in heaven. That is a promise. And God does not go back on any promises. Okay? So when these men are sealed, they're not sealed. They're sealed just exactly like you and I are as believers. They are sealed for a special purpose. Okay? Do we understand that? God has certain things that he does with certain purposes. Like the apostles were appointed to preach the gospel and to write the New Testament. And these men are appointed to be the light of the world with a gospel message during this particular period of time. So because of that, they couldn't be in heaven right now. It would have meant that they were martyred. And let's see what it says about them. We were to make a list about them. The second verse starts, and I heard a voice from heaven. And where is John? He's down here on the earth, is he not? Okay, so he heard the voice from heaven, but he sees these 144,000 on Mount Zion. That's in Jerusalem. They're still there. And because of the timeline that I did for you, and all of a sudden I drew the center part here, and there were 42 months over here where the two witnesses were witnessing. And then you saw another 42 months over here. And then I said, look here. It's told you where the middle of the tribulation is. And I went, oh, several people went that way. You can listen to yourselves on the web if you want to. It was exciting because you saw, just from having done that and from having studied it, that what I told you about Revelation will show you its own progression by the expressions of time. All right? So, here we are now in this period between the seventh trumpet and we see that the seven seals have come out of it. But remember, this is the third part of the instruction to John to write the things that were to take place after these things. This is what we call eschatology, the study of future things. None of this has happened yet. And so when we read the account of this, we're not reading it like we read so much of the Bible, and that's, it took place a long time ago. Some of it thousands of years, some of it 2,000 years. This is all going to take place in the future. And so when we're reading it and we see this parenthesis going on right here, it's not happening today in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to happen at some point in the future, determined by God. And so this is where we are in between the trumpets and the time that the bowls are actually poured out. They come out of that seventh trumpet. But before that happens, and you can see what is going to take place when they are poured out, we are looking at some events here that we need to understand before we start into this total mess that takes place in 17 and 18 chapters. So, in heaven, chapter 2, and I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing their harps. Anytime you see that in Scripture, it goes back to the Old Testament, and that's all the songs and the praise and the thanksgiving and everything that the children of Israel did when they were celebrating their feasts and their festivals. They sang a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Well, then that might mean in verse 1 that, oh, they're purchased from the earth. Well, they must be in heaven. Guess what, Jackie? You were purchased from the earth the moment you believed. You were redeemed. Your price was paid for your sin by Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. And your citizenship changed from the earthly kingdom of Satan, who has it now because he won it in the garden. And your citizenship now is in heaven. You were purchased from the earth too. And yet I'm standing here today looking at you, pretty thing. Had you thought about it that way before? That's exactly what happened to you. All right? These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. The atmosphere on earth at this point is going to be so decidedly evil and under the absolute influence of Satan, like never, ever, ever, ever before. The whole moral fabric of the world is going to go straight down the drain. And yet these men are born again Christians. They are emissaries of the Lord Jesus Christ. They could be married with 15 children, but they're still chaste. There's nothing wrong with having relations in marriage. That is a blessing. that God has blessed marriage with, and to bring forth children to populate the earth. Be fruitful and multiply was their instruction. These men are not going to get involved with the ladies of the night, is what that means. They are true to their witness. They are true witnesses of Christ. All right, they are also the first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Guess what? You are the fruit that has followed. Jesus was the first fruit from the dead who rose in a resurrected body. You're going to find out when you get your resurrected and glorified body. No one has that right now, including those who have died. Their body is in the grave. But we're going to find out what happens next time. All right. So, they are also first fruits of what? This time period. The believers who are going to be saved during this time period. 7 years. It's a time like has never been before nor shall ever be again on the face of the earth. They are also first fruits. Who are they?
Jews.
And that is going to fulfill Zechariah 12:10 and Romans 11:25 and 27. Believe me, we're going to study that and you're going to see it. The redeemed of Israel in the last days, fulfilling the promise of national Israel. Thus, all Israel will be saved. Doesn't mean from the time of the Old Testament. It means alive during this time period. All right. And then we see the other angel flying in mid-heaven with the eternal gospel. Right after you have seen the testimony of these 144,000. And because you have seen how awful things are on the earth right now, sinful, 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 the demons and everything else that have been been brought out of the pits and all, in mid-heaven, this angel flies having the eternal gospel, which is God's way, I believe, all right, this is an anism, I believe with the 144,000 missionaries, Jewish missionaries, mentioned right here that are still alive doing their specially gifted mission, and that is to preach the gospel, God is confirming it through the heavens. Believe. And you see another angel, his judgment has come, worship him. And then another angel in verse 8, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. You see an overview here right to the end. Because after today's homework, when does Babylon fall? Which chapters? 17 and 18, okay? And this is 14. So this is taking you to the end again. We've seen several of these things. Chapter 12 was one of them. When you saw the signs in heaven, the woman with clothed in the sun, and then you saw the great red dragon. You had to know who they were. And then you found out who that dragon was in 11 and what he does with the unholy trinity. Okay, here it pronounces here what's going to happen at the end. So this is like an overview. All right. And another angel, the third one, followed with a loud voice saying, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, where did we see that referred to?
13.
Thank you. I gave you a hint. Chapter 13. It's important to remember these chapters, especially for next time. All right. What happened to them? He will also drink the wine of the wrath of God. These are the ones that took the mark. There comes a time, you see, you've just seen the proclamation of the gospel never stops. We saw in chapter 13 where the false prophet tells everybody, rich, whoever, poor, to take the mark and worship the beast. At that point in time, because of what you read right here, they take that mark. Their allegiance is to the beast who has been given the power by the dragon. We call him the Antichrist. They have made their choice. And because of that, you are going to see the pronouncement about them. There comes a time when God's spirit will not always strive with the soul of man. He says that. Today is the day of your salvation. Do not neglect it. If you feel the Holy Spirit pulling on your heart when you hear the gospel and you turn your back, don't do that, because you may not have another chance. We don't know where that point is, but he's told us, don't neglect it. If you feel it, recognize your sinful way and come to Jesus. He is the only one who can save you. We've seen some pretty bad things, the wrath to come. This is the pure wrath of God. And there's only one way to avoid it, and that is to come to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And he's offered it to all men. All right? The smoke of their torment, this is the people that take this mark. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast, his image, and whoever receives the mark forever and ever. And you know what? You're going to hear it. The scriptures say they have no hope. Right now they have hope. They can change their mind. They can come out of their sin and accept the price that Christ paid for them on the cross or be saved. But once they do this, they can't. It's over. That's a frightening thing. Do you read this and do you understand how important it is for us to be witnesses? You can't save anybody, but you can be a witness. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. It's going to be horrible. And if they're martyred, in the twinkling of an eye, they will be in heaven forever and ever, saved. And their deeds will follow them, and they will be rewarded and blessed. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their deeds will follow them. I didn't make that up. And then you say, I looked and I saw a white cloud having a golden crown on him. Was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And here the angels are, and the call goes out from him. This is Jesus on the cloud. And he says, reap. You remember the retreat, those of you who went? And the subject was the sower and the seed. And right after that, in Matthew chapter 13, is this parable of the wheat and the tares. Have you all been taught that? Well, then you've been taught and you may not remember, so I'm going to remind you right now. The apostles, when Jesus taught that, said, do you want us to go out and weed those people out? And Jesus said, no. That has been reserved for the angels at the end of the age. Guess what we're reading right here? Matthew 13:41. You can look it up for yourself. Put in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters from the vines of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great wine press of the wrath of God. We're going to find out what that wine press is. And the wine press was trodden down where? Outside the city. Which city? Jerusalem. And blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. All right. Okay. Mark that down in your brain right now, how that's... Then in Revelation 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues. Now, these are not diseases. The other translation of that is bowls of wrath, which are the last, all right? Listen to this carefully, ladies. Which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. The seven plagues, which are the last of what? You have studied the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls, and you have seen for yourself that before all this starts, all the way back in chapter 5, you get a picture of that scroll and what was on it, seven seals. And out of the seven seals came the seven trumpets. And out of the seventh trumpet come the seven bowls. And what are the seven bowls? The wrath of God. Where were they in the beginning? They were part of that scroll. They were in the trumpets. They were in, you see, it's all the wrath of God. And some people will tell you, I am a mid-trib rapture person because pre-wrath. Well, guess what? Verse 1 of chapter 15 tells you that it's all the wrath of God. But this is the pure, unadulterated wrath of God when you get down to the last destruction. Does anybody want to throw anything at me? All right. Thank you. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast, who is he? The Antichrist, right? And his image. Remember his image. Do we know anything about the image at this point? Okay. Well, guess what? I'm not going to tell you. And the number of his name, well, that's the mark of the beast, right? That's what 13 tells us. Standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God, and they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, why is it the song of Moses? What did Moses do? He led the children of Israel out of bondage up to the door of the promised land. He could have gone in, but he didn't, but they did. And the song of the Lamb, what is he coming to do? Redeem the whole creation from bondage and lead them into another promised land. And here this is a glorious song. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways. How is the unholy Trinity described? Not this way, was it? And verse 5 says, after these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. This is the Holy of Holies in heaven, represented on earth by the tabernacle and later the temple. The temple of the testimony. That is the Ark of the Covenant. And who did that represent? It's who did it represent? Jesus. And what was on top of the Ark of the Covenant? The mercy seat, which was the lid of the mercy seat. And inside that Ark, and it was acacia wood, encased within and without with pure gold. Three layers, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pure gold. Everything outside of that tent in the middle of it was of bronze, and that's judgment of the sin, 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 sin. The brazen altar, the brazen laver. The moment the priests, only the priests could go into the temple, into the tent of meeting, was the golden menorah, the golden table of showbread with the 12 loaves of bread without leaven on the table representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then the little golden altar of incense of prayer before the curtain, the veil representing the body of Christ. And then the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. And we see that little altar in heaven. The difference is now, what happened when Christ hung on the cross and he died? What happened? God tore it from top to bottom. That thing was about that thick. Could any human being ever do that? No. God did it. Why? Because now we have access to the throne of grace. Remember, Satan can go back and forth now. He's the one that can go in and accuse the brethren. He is the accuser of the brethren. Those are believers. What happened to him for the second throwing down in chapter 12? He was thrown out. And no one had access. After that point, he could not go back in there and accuse anybody. I'm just pointing all this out to you because you've seen it in Revelation. You've seen it in Revelation. And then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God. These are golden bowls indicating that it is the wrath of God. Gold is the metal of divinity, of the regal, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Gold, gold, gold. And the temple was filled with smoke, and this is God's wrath burning it all up. What did he promise Noah? He wouldn't destroy things by water. Put the rainbow in the sky. All right? This is not water. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the same seven angels were finished. And then you're going to see it is done. And none of this has happened yet. It hasn't happened today, it's going to, but none of it in the timeline has taken place. But now we are right at the end because we see here the prophecy, which is what this is, telling you what's going to happen before it happens. As soon as that seventh bowl is poured out, it is done, it is finished. The wrath of God is complete, okay? Now we're going to go into 16 and we're going to see those seven bowls poured out. And this is the second half of this seven-year period. And I heard a voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of what? The wrath of God. That's what it is. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. Does this tell you what happened to those who did not take the mark of the beast? Because they didn't get that sore. They didn't take the mark. And among them were the 144,000. The others who believed, and they will believe during that time period. The second angel, because we've seen that the wrath of God is poured out on those who dwell on the earth. Now, there'll be collateral damage, but it was not None of this has happened to purify the church. Have you ever seen that in this whole study? No. No. So no matter what we'd like to think, that's not the purpose of this time. That's not the purpose of this time. You've never seen that in here. He would have told you. He's been very specific about what goes on in this 6-7 years, hasn't he? Very specific. All right. The second angel poured out his bowl onto the sea. And here that sea is the ocean, the salt water. And it became blood, that of a dead man. Can you imagine anything nastier? Have you ever been to the beach? I haven't. But I've seen it on television with the red tide. It's not pleasant. Well, this is the whole ocean turning that way. And everything in the ocean dies. And the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers. These are the rivers and the springs, fresh water. And they became blood, totally polluted. All of this horrible stuff going on the earth. And I heard the angel of the water saying, "Righteous are you, God, who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things, the evil, 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 evil. For they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, and they deserve it." That's a statement, isn't it? And I heard the altar saying, what altar is this? Altars don't talk. It's that golden altar in heaven, and who have you seen under it? The saints. And what are they doing? Cry out, "O Lord, how long, Lord, how long, O Lord, before you judge?" And God has said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Don't you do it. Don't do it. I got a better idea. And so the altar is saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." And here is the answer to all those in heaven that we have seen as they cried out to God. That's prayer. As you cry out to God, how long before you judge? And here is their answer. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was given it, the sun, to scorch men with fire. The ozone layer is burned up. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they repented, right? See their reaction here. See their reaction. God has wooed them and given them every chance with the most powerful preaching that has been on the face of the earth, with this 144,000 and the two witnesses and all of those who have been redeemed out of it and become witnesses also. And their hearts are deceitfully wicked. And they blaspheme the name of God who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. And his kingdom became darkened. And they gnawed their tongues because of pain. And they repented, right? Nope. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And they did not repent of their belief, their deeds. So you see, by making these statements of what these people didn't do, you see that the gospel was still being preached. The door was still open, not to those who took the mark of the beast, but to all who didn't, for one reason or another. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and the mouth of the false prophet. Who are these three? The unholy trinity. Out of chapter 13. three unclean spirits like frogs. And what did they do? They gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. All right, in chapter 14, what did we see? We saw the angel, the second angel in verse 8 followed saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." We see all these things pointing to the very end of these 7 years. All right, in, let's see. The seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." We saw in 14 that in the day that the last angel pours his out, the wrath is finished. It is finished. Here it is. It is done. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was this is all the power of God. And a great earthquake, so mighty, the great city was split into three parts and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. Did God forget this woman? When it says God remembered something, it isn't that he forgot it. Is that he has a memory and he never forgets. And he promises, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, vengeance is mine." And now it's time to pull that forward and do it. Remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of hail, because of its plague was extremely severe. What did you see in the sixth seal when it was broken? What did the men do? They hid in the caves. And they prayed, don't let the rocks fall on us. Don't let, you know, whether they were ice or actual rocks. So you see why I think those seven seals are just a picture of all that's going to take place in that whole seven-year period. Because nothing happens until that last seal is open. The scroll's not open. And it fits over this. And remember, hide us from what? The wrath of the Lamb and the great day of their wrath. God, it's the Holy, you know, the Holy Trinity. It's the great day of their wrath. And that's what's happened here. It all fits together and it all agrees. All right. And before we go into 17 and 18, which is what we're going to do right now, I want you to read. Someone turn, please, in your Bible. Does anybody have one here, or are we just operating from observation worksheets? James 1, 14 and 15, because Scripture must agree with Scripture. James 1:14 14 through 15. Do you have it?
No.
All right. Would you read it?
But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death.
It's a death spiral. This is what sin does. It starts out, and it goes around, and it ends in death. The wages of sin is death. Scripture must agree with Scripture. This is pure sin on this earth right now. Other than, now there are still believers here. And you're going to see what happens to them. 144,000 are still alive. And others come back in the fall. All right. Now in chapter 17. With 17. Excuse me. The teacher's lost. I'm sorry. All right. Chapter 17. What you have seen now in this overview of this last portion of this seven-year period, a prediction, and God tells us how it's going to wind up, what it's going to do. And now, in chapters 17 and 18, we are going to see how it happens. We're going to see how God brings this final judgment about. So 17 opens, and John then is in the Spirit for the third time. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here." And I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. You and your homework, after you finish this, were to explain what you thought this great harlot, and her name is Babylon. Is it a real city? I'm asking you a question. Is it a real city?
No.
No, it's not. Well, it could also be a city, but you don't know which, and it's not just Babylon that's reborn, you know, up in the desert someplace.
It's a system.
It's a program on television called Babylon. It's a pretty nasty place. All right, so this is, what did you determine it was? It's the whole world system, isn't it? And who is the head of that whole world system?
Satan.
The Antichrist, who is empowered by Satan. And even the description of the Antichrist and Satan are melded. You've seen it several times, and you may not have picked up on it yet. But as soon as this Antichrist, the first beast in chapter 13, is indwelt or by some huge demon, or well, he's given power by the dragon. His power he gives to this man. Then the man just become, you know, Jesus put his spirit within us, and we are to look like Jesus. He's given us the power. And he is conforming us into the image of Christ. This is the unholy Trinity. This man and all of his earth dwellers are pure, pure sin. So this whole thing in 17 and 18 is the judgment on this world system. Where did we see that world system before? Please say Daniel chapter 2. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Makes your teacher feel good. Those 10 toes of iron and clay. And then the stone uncut by human hands comes out of heaven and crushes the feet. Well, when the feet are crushed, what happens to every other world power that has, as far as God is concerned, ruled over who? Israel, the land of Israel. And it comes crashing down. And then he sets up what? A kingdom that will never end. And this is how it happens in 17 and 18. And he carried me away in the spirit to a wilderness in verse 3, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names. And we've seen that word blaspheme, 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 blaspheme. And who came out of, who was described that way? All of those who dwell on the earth, anybody associated whatsoever with this unholy Trinity. Having, there it is again, seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones. What does this indicate about the commerce and the massive wealth that this empire at the top has amassed on the backs of everybody else? All right. In her hand, a golden cup full of abominations and the unclean things of her immorality. Her is not a real person. Her is a system. Morality has declined into the very pit. But that's not just what this is talking about. You in 13 saw that the false prophet made an image to the beast, and he called all the great and small to worship the image of the beast. So the false prophet then takes care of what part of this society? The religious end. And who are they worshiping? Say it louder. They're worshiping the beast, but who is given his power? Satan. They're worshiping Satan. And in the Old Testament, the immorality most of the time was talking about leaving God and going out and played the harlot. So the whole system is evil, evil, evil to the religious end, to the social end. There is no truth because God is truth. Satan is the father of lies. So you see, the whole system is black and white at this point. You've seen, and I've pointed out, contrast after contrast in all of the descriptions of what's going on in heaven and what's going on the earth. Now you know why. And it fits perfectly with James' description of what happens to sin. Once it takes hold, it goes in this downward, downward spiral. And you've seen that throughout the book of Revelation. And here we're right in the pit, aren't we? All right. Verse 5, and on her forehead was a name written, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now one thing is said nice about her. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. What does that mean? Who killed the two witnesses in 11? The beast. Who's head of this world system right here? The beast. And all of the martyrs that you've seen in heaven coming out of the great tribulation. If they come out of the great tribulation and you have read about them here, they're martyrs. And with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, you just told me they killed the two witnesses. They killed all those who believed in Jesus that they could get their hands on that weren't protected by somebody and hidden from this bunch, like Anne Frank was hidden. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman." Now this mystery is going to be revealed. "And of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the 10 horns." This is where all the power is going to come from. And we'll know that when we get to Daniel next time. The beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. The wages of sin is death. Death and destruction follow. And those who dwell on the earth are these believers? Please tell me no.
No.
Thank you. Whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Where have we seen that book before? At the great white throne judgment in chapter 20, right? All right. And whose name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Well, 50 years ago, you would have said, oh, it's the Pope because it's seven hills of Rome and the seven Read on. And they are seven kings. You see, Scripture tells you, it's not Rome. Five have fallen, one is, and one has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. Isn't that going to be fun discovering what that is? The beast which was and is not is himself also an eighth. Are your eyes crossed by yet? Yeah, well, mine are too. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. And you think this is one real hour? Probably not. But in the general scheme of things, when this one world government finally just reached its zenith, 3.5 years as compared to 6,000 years of human authority on this earth under Satan. Satan's got it. This is a short time. All right? These have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. When is that going to take place? At Armageddon. Have you already seen references to Armageddon?
Yes.
In 15, you saw those three frogs coming out of this old Holy Trinity here. Unholy Trinity. Excuse me. Gather them to war. Who are they going to fight against? Jesus. And these will wage war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called the chosen and faithful. How do you know this is talking about what we studied in chapter 19? What is on the thigh of he who sits on that white horse when he comes out of heaven? It is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And back then when they would strike and make a statement and swear, tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but, they would do that because that's who he is. He swears on his own name that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus. And he will overcome because of who he is. And those who are with him are called the chosen and faithful. And who are they? Why are they chosen? Because they place their faith and trust in the Lamb of God. And they are faithful because he is faithful. He's given them the power to be faithful. And they're clothed in white. And why are they clothed in white? What have they done? Washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations. You see, these are not just waters. This explains to you who she sits on many waters over here in chapter 1. That's the definition of what she's sitting on. That's a world empire. You see, it tells you what it all is. The 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot. All right. The wages of sin is death. This guy has reigned in power and everything over the whole world empire. He's amazing strength in this guy because Satan has given him his power. And these people worship him. And all of a sudden, sin has done its perfect work. And it's causing destruction everywhere. There is no truth at all in any of these people. There's no salt and light in their lives. And all of a sudden, these people rise up and devour their own leaders. And the whole thing implodes. The 10 horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. The whole thing, anarchy is just going to crumble. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the word of God is fulfilled. Who is in charge? God is. And he has put it in the hearts of all these people because he's not witnessing to them anymore. They have chosen. They have taken the mark of Satan. And he said, from now on, those who are bound for glory are going to glory. Those who are bound for destruction are going to destruction. And he takes all restraining power off and it implodes because it is evil. It is going to burn up. And the woman who you saw is the great city or the world system which reigns over the kings of the earth. All the kings, the government leaders, have given this Antichrist their power. He is the leader of the one world government. Do you see it a little differently now? All right, in 18, let's see what happens in 18. This is the whole political system here. This is the religious system. This is the financial system with all the gold and the precious jewelry and all that business. Let's see what 18 is all about. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory, and he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon." Here it is. We've seen that before. The great, she has become a dwelling place of what? Demons. Have we seen them? That's how you know what came up out of the pits and were described as locusts. They're not locusts. They were the angels bound in the river Euphrates. They weren't angels. They weren't nice angels. They're demons. And a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. I don't know why we're taking it out on the birds. I think they're pretty, but something bad about these birds. We'll have to. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. What does this say about the main body of humans on the earth at this point? Not all of them. God has always kept a safe, faithful remnant. You're going to find out about them another time. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. Her is who? The world system ruled over by the Antichrist. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Okay, so what's 18 about? The merchants of the earth. This is about the financial system and all of that. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." He didn't forget it. Her iniquities are the reason that she's being judged. Pay her back. even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, and the cup which she has mixed, mixed twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously. What was the sin of Satan in heaven?
Pride.
He glorified himself and wanted to be above God. And he told Eve, if you just do this, you God doesn't want you. But if you do this, if you eat of that tree over there, he told you not to. Well, yeah, he just doesn't want you to be like him. And she believed him and chose. It was a wrong decision. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and I am not a widow. And we'll never see mourning. Oh, really? For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire because the Lord God who judges her is strong. So this judgment that is coming upon this entire anti-God, unholy world, who is just the pit of the pit right now. Full of demons, full of satanic influence, full of unbelievers who shake their fist at God. The whole thing is unbridled evil. And God has just said, you want it your way, take it. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Why? They're part of her system. The whole world falls apart. And they can't do anything about it. And they were standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Why? There's such chaos here, there's no commerce that can go on. They can't ship anything. Everything in the sea is dead. They can't do anything. It's horrible. Cargoes of gold and silver. Could you precious silver and gold and precious jewels and all that, could they save them? And yet that's who they put their faith in. Silk, scarlet, every kind of citron, everything of value at all, if they had anything, their money, anything else, it couldn't save them. Nothing could save them. Cinnamon, spice, that was a huge wealth in those days. And perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and flour and wheat and cattle and sheep. That's how they judged their wealth back then. The fruit you long for has gone from you. And all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning. No one's coming to her assistance. Do you see people today who see terrible things going on? They just stand there and watch it. I don't want to get involved in that. But then you hear acts of heroism. People go and they try to save the one who's being tormented or beaten up on the street. Not here. Woe, woe, the great city who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste. You see how fast it happens? And every shipmaster and passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance. They were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads. They're really in deep mourning here because their whole world is collapsing right in front of them. Weeping and mourning, say, woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour she has been laid waste. Now look at this contrast. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. And it is done. And you turn the page. And a strong angel took up a stone, or like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. It's over. And the sound of harpists and the musicians and the flute players, any music, any sound of joy or anything else, which is what that means, and no craftsman of any kind will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill, no commerce, will be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery and your involvement with the demons and your involvement with Satan. And it's taken over, and I've let you have it. And it's all imploded. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all who have been slain on the earth. Period. And that's what's happening. It's going to happen. That's how it's going to come to an end. And chapter 18 is over. And next week, we're getting to the good part. Because the minute you turn the page and open chapter 19, you're going to see hallelujah proclaimed four times. Because the judgment is over. Now, you're going to see an account of what happens. But by this time in history, it will be done. And you see Jesus coming in 19 at the end of this to finish the judgment himself, personally. And there are those coming with him, following him on that white horse with white robes. And we're going to find out who they are and what they do and why he's bringing them back with him. That's the rest of the story. And we're coming to it. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have written this word so clearly. Thank you that you have used such exact words to let us see your heart, to see your love for those who call on your name, who have come to you forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb of God, who you sent to take away the sin of the world. Thank you that you are the God of love, that you are the God of truth, and that you will bring the judgment to pass, and vengeance is yours. And Lord, we long for the day when you will have things the way you created them to be, and it is all made true and pure again. And Father, we thank you for those promises that you made to your church in chapters 2 and 3. And we thank you that we're a part of that church, the worldwide body of believers that have come to you for forgiveness and cleansing in the blood of the Lamb. In the Old Testament, looking forward to that day, and now we look back to it, to this same Lamb of God, the only one who could ever redeem anything from this sinful world. And Lord, we pray that we will be bearers of that light and that we will go out of here proclaiming who you are, and that our lives will reflect our faith in you, because you have given us the power and the Holy Spirit to do that. And Father, we thank you for this study in Jesus' name. Amen.